Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we'll be live for an extra live show December 19th for our Christmas spectacular. So make sure you join us for that. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Sarah Parshall Perry is Vice President of Defending Education and Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. She has an editorial. We sued an Ohio school district over preferred pronouns and won. It's great to have her join us again. Sarah, it's been a while. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for having me back, Rich.
Absolutely. So first, let's talk about Ohio, and then I want to talk about New Jersey, and then the education, the NEA writ large nationally. So what happened in Ohio?
So about 2.5 years ago, we discovered that the Olatanji School District was actually instituting an anti-harassment policy that required students to use mandatory preferred pronouns to refer to their peers. Well, not only was that unconstitutional and a clear violation of the First Amendment rights of students who didn't believe in gender identity and who knew that sex was biologically separate and distinct and immutable, but it also was a violation of parental rights because that anti-harassment policy actually followed the kids off campus onto their private devices when they were home back under their parents' care. So we actually lost in the district court. We then appealed it to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. A three-judge panel again decided that we were in the wrong because they believed that the anti-harassment policy was a minimal impact on free speech rights and was necessary for the orderly administration of the school day. We filed a motion for rehearing and won that motion, or argued the case all the way back in March of this year. And just a few days ago, we finally achieved a victory in which, by a vote of 10-7, the Sixth Circuit en banc Court of Appeals ruled that, yes, not only was it an unconstitutional imposition on the free speech rights of the children who didn't want to use preferred pronouns because they didn't want to be forced to lie, but yes, it also violated parental rights as well, because when those children are off school grounds at the end of the school day, they are back under their parents' roofs. And that is exactly when parental control and not school control takes place.
Yeah, well, good for you. I mean, congratulations. That is a big win. And en banc means the full court, right?
That's it. That's it. It was 17 judges, all of whom weighed in, and the vote was 10-7.
Excellent. And it's a shame it got there, though. It got to that point. Right. But this is the battle right now, because they want to try to extend their reach, not just from the classroom, but in every aspect of our kids' lives. Right.
That's it. That's exactly it. And the fact that it took 2.5 years of litigation to get to the point where we got a federal court sitting in bank to actually say, yes, you can't mandate preferred pronouns for these minor kids, and many of them will disagree with gender identity, I think is sort of an indicia of exactly how far we've fallen on the notion of biological reality. Now, this is actually in keeping with what the Supreme Court has held on First Amendment rights, but it's also in keeping specifically with what the Sixth Circuit has already held for higher education. In a case in 2021 called Meriwether versus Hartop, the Sixth Circuit, a three-judge panel, in an opinion written by Amul Thapar, said that a professor at Shawnee State University could not be forced to use a student's preferred pronouns. So we like to think of this as sort of the second piece in the puzzle. Now the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals has a pretty robust canon of First Amendment jurisprudence for both students and professors within the concept of education and directly relative to gender identity. But I don't think this is the first challenge of this kind that we're going to see.
Good. Excellent. And the devices coming home with the kids is a real problem. And that's just a whole other note, just besides even the indoctrination. I mean, more and more stories now about schools that are using these Chromebooks and laptops and even sending them home with the kids. And there's no restrictions on what the kids can do with these things. There's no internet restrictions. There's nothing. And the school districts turn around and they say, well, you know, we have no way of putting those restrictions in place. I just don't really think and get a sense that they want to. I also think that there's a time to learn about how to use computers, but we've turned over a lot of education to just being on devices, and it hasn't helped. I mean, it hasn't helped test scores. It hasn't helped performance in any way, shape, or form. It is leading to more kids being distracted, though, no doubt about that.
Yes. Oh, there's no doubt. And I have to tell you, as the mother of three kids, 19, 21 and 16, devices were a very big part of their education. And of course, we didn't see that in any greater measure than we did during COVID, when suddenly all of education became an online proposition, which, by the way, for two students of mine, two of my sons have ADHD and autism spectrum disorder, respectively. Let me tell you, both of them lost learning specifically because the way that they learn online is not directly suited to the way that they learn generally, and it wasn't good for any student. When I was living in Maryland, I was in Baltimore County Public Schools at the time, and because of the influence of teachers unions, our public schools opened the last of all of the public school districts in the state of Maryland. This is supposed to be a blue ribbon school district. It's one into which I moved specifically to secure a greater quality education for my three children who were needing public school services, needing special education services, and yet they refused to open. We went almost 2 full years into the COVID pandemic and beyond before the doors were opened again. And unfortunately, I had to learn the hard way that when we don't advocate ahead of time, we let the school make decisions on exactly what they're going to do in the lives of our own children. That is not something we want, through our organization, other parents to experience.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I agree with you. We are seeing more and more of these national unions, the teachers union, and in New Jersey, the New Jersey Education Association, still pushing with the curriculum, the woke curriculum, the LGBTQ curriculum, all of it. And there was a story that Fox News Digital had the other day about this, where this leaked memo shows how they're pushing all this and also pushing, I guess, like labor rights and all the other things. I mean, the unions are still all in on the indoctrination.
You know, one of the things that I really hope ultimately we get some momentum in Congress to be able to do is to revoke the charter for the teachers unions. Why the Department of Education ever thought it was a smart move to actually outsource some of these accrediting and membership capabilities to private membership organizations is utterly beyond me. We see it in higher education. We see it, for example, with the ABA, the American Bar Association, which is the sole accreditor for American law schools, and which, by the way, having gone to an ABA law school, now they have instituted 6 credits of racial sensitivity training that is mandated before anyone graduates from law school. But the teachers' unions are simply just sort of the microeconomic version of the exact same thing, capturing minds in K through 12 before they go on to college, before they go on to graduate school. One of the things I think, and Representative Mark Walker is actually doing this right now, he's arguing for the revocation through legislation of the federal charter to kind of get their hooks out of American public education. But the problem is, Richie, you and I both know that educators are ultimately at bottom tasked with one thing, and that is educating kids, not indoctrinating them, not sort of forming them into little social justice activists. But what we're seeing with the teachers unions, and for which the NEA represents itself to have more than 3 million members, these are 3 million classroom teachers. Those union members were specifically tasked with pursuing a training that is going to be held in person December 2nd through 4th. Through documents that we actually secured at our organization, Defending Education, that is driving everything, and I'm using their own words here, this is not mine, through a race, class, gender narrative. It is through what they are calling LGBTQ advanced justice training. And among other things, it not only tells teachers how to come out at work if they are gender dysphoric, how to help other students come out, it contains a glossary of gender identity and race-related terms, many of which I've never seen before in my life, and actually vilifies conservatives who might have an issue with what the NEA is doing from driving everything through an oppressor and an oppressed matrix, calling conservatives villains and saying the GOP is using so-called racist and transgender dog whistles. This is an organization that does not care about their members. They don't care about the children to which their members are actually tasked with educating. They care about political causes. They care about left-wing and progressive advocacy, and they care about money. And that's literally all the unions do.
Sarah Parshall Perry is with me. It's great to have her on the show, Vice President of Defending Education. And the vilifying conservatives and going after conservatives like that. I mean, now you're engaging in politics here, and I thought they're not supposed to do that. I thought that was another thing too, where they're supposed to separate their education association activities from the political arm. Isn't that supposed to be a separate and distinct thing?
It is supposed to be a separate and distinct thing. And in fact, a report that we published, another report that was a result of some records requests and some inside reporting, indicated that we've learned that there is less than 10% of its annual sizable budget that is actually spent on representational activities for the teachers who are members of the unions in the first place. Listen, labor unions exist to actually advance employment causes, to provide secure employment contracts, to make sure that their members are actually represented fairly in contract negotiations. What we discovered is that since 2022, I want you to think about this, this is literally only 3 years of reporting, the organizations have spent between the AFT and the NEA more than $221 million advancing far left political and radical social justice issues. Not a single dollar spent on improving educational outcomes for teachers. They were donating to candidates like Act Blue, the Tides Network, Open Societies Foundation, which is George Soros's sort of operation, the New Venture Fund, Kamala Harris's 2024 campaign, Center for American Progress, Democrat House Majority and Senate Majority PACs, and others. $221 million in just 3 years and still counting. Not a single dollar of that went to improving student outcomes or making sure that their employees had better employment terms.
Sarah Parshall Perry, let me ask you about, and by the way, that comes also after the New Jersey Education Association spent $40 million on their president to run for governor and come in last place in the Democrat primary, which is just outrageous. And the ultimate money laundering operation, in my opinion. This guy, Sean Spiller, runs for governor, comes in last place, and it's about $40 million of union dues that go towards this guy's candidacy. If I was a teacher, I would be outraged over that. And it was a complete and utter waste of money because the guy didn't even win.
Yeah. And you know what? We're indicating exactly everything that we have said was wrong with education. Everything that we have said always that's wrong with politics is that the expenditure of money, the more we spend, the less general good outcome we achieve. That is no less so with the teachers unions than it is in political campaigns. And every time we see these influxes of significant amounts of cash, I think the public should ask, as we do, where is the money coming from and where is the money going to? Because opening someone's checkbook indicates to you immediately what those priorities are. It's in education. It's also in politics. And it's got to be infuriating for the people who are invested deeply in these kinds of issues.
Yeah, no question about it, Sarah Parshall Perry. I agree with you. What's the next battle in all this?
Wow. Well, we are filing FOIA requests right and left, and we are tasked this year with getting a couple more federal lawsuits off the ground. I have my eye on a few universities, some in the Third Circuit, where I know you are located, Rich, to see whether or not some bias response teams on college campuses are going to pass First Amendment scrutiny. We don't think they will. And so within the next 6 months or so, you'll be hearing about a couple of new lawsuits that are really going to be cutting edge for free speech rights in college.
And lastly, Linda McMahon yesterday talking about how, you know, and gutting the federal Department of Education, turning it back over to the states. All that is wonderful. All that is great. I guess the only thing I worry about, though, is that does that give the potential then for teachers' unions in various states to gain even more power?
So that's a great question. One of the things that I think we're focused explicitly on is the fact that these interagency agreements, the IAAs, have got to be approved through Congress. But what they've done is outsourced to four other federal agencies, HHS, Department of Labor, Department of Interior, to specifically allow these opportunities to go through other agencies. So really what it's doing is shifting the bureaucratic burden, because we know Department of Education never was created with constitutional authority. That is, pursuant to the 10th Amendment, always supposed to be a state and local issue, but I would much rather battle a state and local union than I would a federal union. And once we return this to the states, then we've all got to fight with the individuals who are closest to the issue at the electorate level. I would much rather do that. And quite frankly, it's the nature of representative democracy and how federalism is supposed to work.
Absolutely. Bravo. I think you're doing great work. Your organization's doing great work as well. It's really, really important. Sarah Parshall Perry, follow her on X at Sarah P. Perry, and defendinged.org is the organization. I appreciate it, my friend. Keep up the great work.
Thanks so much, Rich.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Yes, and we will be back there, like I mentioned to you. We'll be back there on December 19th, so mark your calendar for our Christmas spectacular. It is going to be a great time, a lot of fun, and I would love to see you there. We'd all love to see you there, and we're all going to be there, so make sure you join us for that. Some new audio clips for you. In case you missed it, we do have some more clips of Ma'am Dahmy with the president in the Oval Office, and we're going to get to that as well. But I want to mention this now. Mark Kelly, who was in that video telling members of the military not to file an illegal order, even though not a single illegal order has been given, and they have given no evidence that a single illegal order has been given. Mark Kelly goes over to MS Now, and starts to proceed with the nonsense of making everybody believe that there may be illegal orders going on. They have still not highlighted one single illegal order that the commander-in-chief has given, or anyone in the military, for that matter, has given. And the only examples we heard out of Jason Crow yesterday were plungers up rectums. So, cut number six.
Yeah. They would be violating their oath if they followed that illegal orders.
And I guess, Senator, members of the military, what is your advice to them if they come across something that seems confusing?
I think they need to talk to their leadership, you know, talk to their commanding officer about it and tell your commanding officer why you think this may be illegal. There are lawyers within the military, the Judge Advocate General Corps. You can have a conversation, you know, with somebody who understands the law. You know, there's always the option of you review the UCMJ with your leadership and you explain to somebody why you think this may not be lawful.
All right.
Purely hypothetical, because nothing has ever been shown to be illegal or unlawful. So it's purely and utterly hypothetical. And Matt Taibbi had a great point on this, too. You know, this is very, very reminiscent of Russiagate in the sense that they're sowing this doubt, making people believe these things might be happening. I think his take on this is right. But actually, what I want to do is play a flashback for you. It's a flashback from 2024 when the corporate media spread the lie that Trump wanted Cheney executed, if you remember. Liz Cheney, they wanted her executed. The president did. More lie again, but this is what happens, and the media firestorm begins. Cut number eight.
Breaking news. Donald Trump took his violent rhetoric to a new extreme, suggesting the former Republican congresswoman should be fired upon.
Breaking news. Trump under investigation for saying, quote, war hawk Liz Cheney should be fired upon.
Right now on ABC News Live, he suggested 9 barrels of a firing squad aimed right at her.
Donald Trump declaring before a crowd that Cheney should be put before a firing line.
With the battle over women voters raging, Donald Trump suggests putting Liz Cheney in the firing line.
Now you have this threat against Liz Cheney that Trump is talking about a firing squad.
The Drudge Report, Trump calls for Cheney execution.
He's saying,
all right, so you get it. I mean, that's just the thing. And when that clip from Jason Crow yesterday was amazing, right? So you sit there and you say to the guy, all right, so what are some examples of the illegal orders that are being given? He doesn't have any, so he goes back to Abu Ghraib, where you had plungers up rectums. And I the question I asked yesterday was, is this a thing? Are we doing plungers up rectums again? No. He goes back to Vietnam. I mean, they are creating something that doesn't exist. He put out this video that was entirely unnecessary, because the entire video is all about, if you are given a lawful order, don't follow it. Well, the military knows not to follow an unlawful order. That's the whole point. But they never said that any unlawful orders were being given. And every single time, whether it's Chrissy Houlihan or it's Mark Kelly or it's Jason Crow or it's any of them, the media doesn't follow up and go, well, really, what's the illegal order? Give me one. Give me an example of one. Give me one. Because there aren't any. But they want to go with the narrative that Trump is fascist and he's a dictator and he's Hitler. And so obviously just make people think that he's giving illegal orders. He's not, because they don't have any examples of anything, but they want everybody to think that he is doing that. And then they can't back it up with anything. So they go, well, I mean, if it were to occur, this is what should happen. if it were to occur? Why not put out a PSA on drunk driving? Why not have all these members of Congress just talk about how bad it is to go drunk driving? And if you're told to go drunk driving, don't go drunk driving. Like, what? But is anybody telling them to go drunk driving? No, but if anybody does, they shouldn't do it. Okay, thanks for that. But it's the narrative again. It's the narrative of saying that, oh, well, Trump is probably maybe could possibly at some point maybe do this. He didn't in his first term. He hasn't done it now. And that's why I said the White House response should be, we have never given an illegal order. The president follows the law, he follows the courts, and he never gives illegal orders and never has given an illegal order. Never has. That's what the answer should be. But I told you what they want to do is they want to take away from the president's foreign policy accomplishments. I mean, the big story today outside of the president meeting with a communist is that they're very, very close now to this Russia-Ukraine peace deal. You got Rubio there, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff there. The president has ended wars, and this has become, if anything, he's getting criticism from people who are saying he's spending too much time on foreign policy. He's doing too much to end wars and not start new wars. I mean, literally, that's a criticism in some far right wing nut job podcasters. They're like, well, he's spending way too much time dealing with these foreign policy issues. Yeah, but he's also ending war. And by bringing people like the Saudi crown prince in, what he's ultimately doing is he's making sure that we have peace lasting in the Middle East and strengthening our allies. And that's great. And that's why CNN pointed out his foreign policy approval numbers at this point in his term are higher than where they were with Bush and with Obama. So what do you do when you have a president who's getting great accolades for his handling of foreign policy? You put out a video saying to the military, don't follow an illegal order, which they already know not to do. And they can't even name what an illegal order would be. So they have to go back to Vietnam when some commander gave an order to kill innocent civilians and the people said no, the troops said no and didn't follow him. And that guy wound up going to prison. It's like, well, thanks for the history lesson, genius. Thanks for that. But that was the 1960s. And they bring up Abu Ghraib, which was in the early 2000s. And Trump wasn't president during Vietnam, nor was he president during Abu Ghraib. But it's all about setting a narrative. That's what these people love to do. They love to do this more than anything. And that's why I know I got to take a quick break. Stacey Garrity is going to join us, but we'll have more on this. And I have some audio for you of the president with Ma'am Donnie in the Oval Office. But let me tell you about Dr. Mike Veneria. Great guy, great friend, my family dentist. You know, for 12 years, other dentists have been sending their patients to Dr. Mike. Why? Because he's the best. That's why. And they know he's the best. Oh, by the way, my friend Frank Troy, who's a lieutenant commander in the Navy, he said the military has retired. The military has training on lawful versus unlawful orders, as you know. In the grand scheme of things, it's very difficult to give an unlawful order. Everyone knows about the Nuremberg trials. Did you know that there's a movie coming out on Nuremberg? And I think the timing of this, as Johnny Cook pointed out on X, is very interesting. How the timing of this video coming out with this new movie on Nuremberg coming out, as they keep calling Trump Hitler. These things don't just happen by coincidence, as you know. Anyway, Dr. Mike Veneria, great guy, great friend, the master of dental implants. If you need a dental implant, please go see him. Get a free implant consultation. Don't go to the closest dentist. Don't go to a pop-up chain dental office. Go to the best, the guy who the other dentists call the expert. That's who you want. And he handles my whole family's dentistry. I go see him. He gave Bridget a beautiful smile upgrade last year. He also handles my kids and, of course, Mama Zioli as well. And with two locations for you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, he's easy to get to. Now, you may have benefits expiring. They're definitely expiring at the end of the year. They may be dental benefits. Don't let them go. Reach out to Dr. Mike's office. They'll walk you through it all and see if you qualify and get that smile upgrade that you need. He's the best at what he does. He's my friend, and he is the master of dental implants. Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. at DSW Stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Stacey Garrity wants to be the next governor of Pennsylvania, and she's already running a strong campaign. And this week, going after Josh Shapiro on an amazing, amazing screw-up with PennDOT, among other things as well. It's great to welcome her back on the show. Treasurer Stacey Garrity, how are you, my friend?
Rich, I am fantastic, and it's great to be with you.
Great to be with you as well. So we found out that this Uzbekistan terrorist was given a commercial driver's license from PennDOT. And the Shapiro administration is acting like, oh, it's not our fault.
Well, I know they are. But funny thing is that Pennsylvania was one of six states that was already, you know, cited as not following the federal law. So it is our fault. And, you know, we've not only endangered the safety of, you know, Americans, because this guy obviously was in, I think he was in Michigan, right? Oh, no, he was in Kansas. But yeah. At any rate, and we're also risking federal money, $75 million. So we really need to get our act together. And you know what? Josh Shapiro is the chief executive, and the buck stops there. So instead of blaming everything on Trump and the Trump administration, you know, he should do an audit, find out what went wrong, and fix it.
So you point out now Shapiro endangers Pennsylvania safety and federal government funding. U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy's warning that $75 million in federal funding may not be provided to the Commonwealth if the Shapiro administration does not revoke the illegally issued driver's licenses of dangerous foreign drivers. And you said, you know, from the arrest of a dozen criminal illegal immigrants with Pennsylvania-issued CDLs in Oklahoma to the arrest of a suspected terrorist in Kansas who held a Pennsylvania-issued commercial driver's license, it's becoming abundantly clear that Josh Shapiro is too busy running for president to manage the Commonwealth. And that's the point that you mentioned about potentially losing the federal funds. Duffy's made this point as Transportation Secretary, you won't have the money. I don't see the Shapiro administration going after and revoking these driver's licenses, Stacey Garrity.
Well, they should, because how did this terrorist and these other illegal immigrant criminals, because, I mean, they were bad people, and they had charges like human smuggling, money laundering, assault, How did they get through the system to be granted a CDL? And why aren't we having a full review of all licenses issued by the Shapiro administration to see, you know what, there might be other violent offenders who were granted licenses because Pennsylvania has issued 12,400 CDLs to non-U.S. citizens.
That is insane. That's an insane number, Stacey.
It is. It is. And this terrorist, what else is crazy to me is he was arrested by the Biden administration and then released in 2023. And then they gave him a work authorization in January of 2024. I mean, don't we check these people out? So we give a terrorist from Uzbekistan, and if they wanted him, then, you know, like, that's really, really bad. Why would we give him a work authorization? And how, we don't know who's has crossed our border. So how many other folks are terrorists are running around like that?
That's a great point, Stacey Garrity. It's a great point. But he's very busy, you know, promoting himself on social media, and he really can't have time to be governor. He's running for president. He's barely running for governor. He's running for president because he was at the Eagles game with Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who many people are saying those two are going to team up in 2028. This is just, he just has to get past the next election, and then he can turn all his attention on running his social media, where he's got people on our tax dollar payroll, by the way, like a dozen of them, putting out video after video nonstop, like he's an influencer.
Well, yeah, and it is our taxpayer dollars, and he finally got a budget passed after 4.5 months. And not only did last year we spend $3 billion more than what we brought in, but this budget they just passed, they spend the entire surplus of the Commonwealth. So next year, what is left is the rainy day fund. Pennsylvania already has the fifth highest tax burden in the nation, and they're going to have to raise taxes because you know they're not going to cut any spending, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone has to spend money, and it's unconscionable. It's so fiscally irresponsible to use rainy day funds to plug a budget hole. You need to use that when we have an economic downturn or you know, some kind of emergency where one-time funds are needed, not to fund recurring programs. And Pennsylvania can't afford it.
Well, that's why the U.S. Treasurer running is a really strong argument, because you know the books. I mean, you know the books better than anybody in the Commonwealth.
I do. And, I mean, let's think about it. Pennsylvania ranks 38th in the economy of all states, 39th in education,
38th?
And 41st. Yes, 38th in the economy.
With all the energy we have in this state, how is that even humanly possible?
Because we're not unleashing these abundant natural resources that we have here. I mean, of all the natural gas in America, Pennsylvania, as you know, has 25%. And what would that mean? Billions and billions of dollars in jobs and economic opportunity that our communities desperately need. And it would give us a bit of financial breathing room. So we play around the edges, you know. We have everything we need in Pennsylvania. We have hardworking, the most hardworking people. We have industries like no other, and abundant natural resources. And what do? We don't unleash them. Instead, he panders to, you know, activists. You know, it depends on where he is. One day he'll act like he's a proponent of energy, and the next he acts like he wrote the Green New Deal. And you know what? That's not governing thrifting.
Yeah, I know. And since the Republicans were very smart to get Pennsylvania out of REGI, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which was great. But then Shapiro announces his own lefty environmental program that he wants to see the state in. So, yeah, you're right. He wants to have it both ways. And he's doing that. How's the campaign going? I mean, it's November. It's early, but you're not acting like it's early.
You know what? It's going fantastic. I was in five counties yesterday, and oh my gosh, Butler, Beaver, oh gosh, Armstrong, and two others, and it was crazy. And today I was in Wilkes-Barre, and there is a tremendous amount of enthusiasm everywhere I go. People are finally like waking up to the fact that we are mediocre. And it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't. And yeah. We should be leading the nation, not being, you know, in the bottom quartile. And if we want opportunities for our kids and our grandkids, and we want them, you know, here in our great Commonwealth, then, you know, we need to turn things around. We are the 12th highest regulated state in the nation. And we're not, you know, we're not open up for business. We educate our kids in these wonderful universities, great trade schools. And then where do they go? Ohio, Virginia, you know, Texas, anywhere mm-hmm. but Pennsylvania, because we do not have opportunities for them. And again, it does not have to be that way.
Well, Stacey, keep up the great work. I appreciate coming on the show today. Let's have you back on again soon. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you for bringing up this attention. It's really important to focus on this, about these illegal alien driver's licenses, and particularly the CDL ones, because we've seen just tragedy after tragedy occur here. And for Pennsylvania, for PennDOT to give a driver's license to a terrorist from Uzbekistan, I'm glad you're all over that. That's great stuff. So thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Thanks for having me. And if anybody wants to go check me out, website is Garrity4PA.com, and X and Truth Social are both Garrity4PA.
Stacey Garrity, thanks, my friend.
Thanks, Rich.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, I have some audio for you. If you missed it earlier, the president and Ma'am Dami in the Oval Office, I think, as several of the comments have said, the president looked gracious and very, very nice and accommodating. And Mandami, I think, is going to get a whole lot of grief from his people for humanizing the president. I mean, if Jimmy Fallon rubbed his hair and people lost their minds, Mandami just made the president seem incredibly gracious. And I can't imagine that AOC and Bernie and the rest of them are going to be particularly pleased with all this. So some audio clips for you from the bromance in the Oval Office today between the president and Ma'am Dani. So first of all, here's President Trump, cut 22.
Just had a great meeting, a really good, very productive meeting. We have one thing in common. We want this city of ours that we love to do very well. And I wanted to congratulate the mayor. He really ran an incredible race against, you know, a lot of smart people, starting with the early primaries against some very tough people, very smart people. And he beat him, and he beat him easily. And I congratulated him. And we talked about some things in very strong common, like housing and getting housing built, and food and prices, and the price of oil is coming way down. That anything I do is going to be good for New York. If I can get prices down, it's good for New York. And we've got them down, way down from last year. We have, as you know, I've been saying to a lot of people, Walmart said that Thanksgiving this year is exactly 25% less than last year. So that's good for New York, good for everybody. But I just want to congratulate. I think you're going to have, hopefully, a really great mayor. The better he does, the happier I am, I will say. There's no difference in party. There's no difference in anything. And we're going to be helping him to make everybody's dream come true, having a strong and very safe New York. And congratulations, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Please.
I appreciated the meeting with the president, and as he said, it was a productive meeting focused on a place of shared admiration and love, which is New York City, and the need to deliver affordability to New Yorkers, the 8.5 million people who call our city their home, who are struggling to afford life in the most expensive city in the United States of America. We spoke about rent, we spoke about groceries, we spoke about utilities, we spoke about the different ways in which people are being pushed out, and I appreciated the time with the president, I appreciated the conversation, I look forward to working together to deliver that affordability for New Yorkers.
This was quite a moment when they asked him, you know, do you still think Trump's a fascist? This is pretty funny, actually. Cut 23.
He asked about your comment calling the president a fascist, and your answer was, well, President Trump and I have been clear about our positions and our views. Mm-hmm. Are you affirming that you think President Trump is a fascist?
I've spoken about...
That's okay. You can just say yes.
Okay.
It's easier. It's easier than explaining it. I don't mind.
And Mr. President, I wanted to ask you also...
He also said at one point, I said, what about the fact that he called you a despot? And he said, well, I've been called worse. So... I'm telling you, the left's going to hate this. They're going to hate this, that he helped make the president seem so normal. and likable and not like the monster that, well, Mandami has been saying he is all this time. So it's pretty funny, actually. The president talked about deporting violent illegal aliens. Again, this is going to have the left just lose their freaking minds over this, because Mamdani has talked about keeping ICE out of New York and making New York a safe place for illegal immigrants. And so this is not going to go over well with Mamdani's people. I mean, you got to think the guy got played here. I mean, totally just, Trump doesn't have anything to lose. He's not running again. Mamdani is not even mayor yet. And all the people that backed him, who were counting on him being this guy who's going to go in there and fight Trump and fight all these policies and everything, just watch the guy sit in the Oval Office and completely kiss his behind. So I can't imagine that plays well with his people. Can't imagine that at all. Cut 25.
You both have differences when it comes to ICE agents in New York City. Mr. Mamdani, you call ICE a rogue government entity. I wonder how you reconcile your differences on both of those issues.
Well, I think we're going to work them out. And I think that if we have known murderers and known drug dealers and some very bad people, you know, we want to get them out. And the mayor wants to have peace. We discussed this at great length, actually, maybe more than anything else. He wants to have a safe New York. Ultimately, a safe New York is going to be a great New York. If it's not safe, no matter how well we do with pricing and with anything else, we can talk about anything you want. If you don't have safe streets, it's not going to be a success. So we're going to work together. We're going to make sure that if there are horrible people there, we want to get them out. I think he wants to get them out maybe more than I do. So we'll work together. We discussed it at great length. Yes, please.
So again, not gonna play well with Mamdani's crazy people. No way, shape, or form. I thought you were gonna stand up to this fascist. You made him seem so likable and normal and nice. Reporter asked the president about referring to Mamdani as a communist. Cut 26.
For you, you referred to Mr. Mamdani as a communist. Could you describe why you feel that way? And also, will you do anything to stop him from arresting Prime Minister Netanyahu if he visits New York?
Well, we didn't discuss your second part of the question. And on your first part, I mean, he's got views that are a little out there, but who knows? I mean, we're going to see what works, or he's going to change also. We all change. I change a lot. Change a lot from when I first came to office. It's now quite a while ago. It's quite a while. My first term was great. We had the greatest economy in the history of our country. We're doing even better now. We're doing much better now than we did even the first term. And I can tell you some of my views have changed. And we had discussions on some things. I'm not going to discuss what they were, but that I feel very confident that he can do a very good job. I think he is going to surprise some conservative people, actually, and some very liberal people. He won't surprise them because they already like him.
And then the president was also talking about, well, actually, you got a question from Jack Sobiec about Mamdani, about race-based taxing system. Cut 24.
Jack?
I want to know, one of the policies as well that Mayor-elect Mamdani talked a number of times about on the campaign was shifting the tax burden for property taxes from what he called minority communities to white-based communities and putting more taxes on white people. I also noticed that in your acceptance speech, you didn't mention anything about America or Christians or white people in general. And so I didn't know if that was one of the policies that you guys had spoken about.
We focused on affordability. We focused on the cost of living crisis. What I will say is that I am very much interested in property tax reform, because what we see right now in New York City is a system that is so inequitable that it can't even stand up in court. And the president and I spoke about the importance of not only building more housing, but also making sure that regulation of housing is something that is manageable to actually get through and not the cause of yet another weight that we see.
But to be clear, you're continuing this idea of race-based property taxes.
No, to be very clear, the use of the term was a description of neighborhoods, not a description of intent.
So you intend to tax the way your neighborhoods more?
No, we intend to create a fair property tax system, because we want a New York City that is not only fair and equitable, but also one that every New York can afford.
Now, I guess you could also make the argument that the president humanized him and made Mamdani seem very likable and normal and not like the communist nutbag that we've all been portraying him as. I still think he's a communist nutbag, and I think he's incompetent, and I think he's just completely out of his league here and doesn't know what he's doing. And so the question then becomes, can you restrain this guy? And yeah, there's plenty of ways to restrain him, no doubt about that. But, you know, I could see people on the right being critical of the president and saying, well, you've just knew. Yeah, he helped normalize you, but you helped normalize him. And you made him seem like a completely normal guy. You just made a communist sound like a normal guy who's just like everybody else with just maybe a couple of far out there ideas. I mean, I could definitely hear that criticism coming if it's not already out there. I haven't been really checking the social media stuff, but, you know, I would imagine that that's probably out there. But, you know, again, like I've said to you before, I've said that Trump has nothing to lose here, and Mamdani has everything to lose, particularly his base, and you know they're going to be furious. Like AOC, for example, I mean, she must be losing her mind right now. I haven't seen her post anything, but just even a little while ago, she said something to the effect of this, warning Trump supporters, cut number 20.
And this week, the Hispanic caucus was able to get the airline industry to stop selling passenger data to ICE. Did you hear about this?
I just casually was informed about it. I know that the caucus was really working on that, though.
Yeah. Any reaction to their decision?
And well, I mean, I think it's...
what's the message to corporate
America? It's tremendously important and impactful. And, you know, as I've said before, there's been a day before Donald Trump's presidency, and there will be a day after. And in that day after, I think people will see so many of the decisions that individuals made and organizations made, and we want to make sure that... that they comport with the values of everyday Americans.
Man, she's going to be so mad. She spent so much time getting Mamdani. And this is the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneri of Veneria Dental. Two locations for you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VeneriaDental.com. She spent so much time getting this commie elected, and you know that she's going to be out there just losing her freaking mind over this. Now, look, it was a meeting in the Oval Office, and maybe it'll go back to being Trump trashing him on Truth Social and Mamdani going back and saying, he's fascist, he's Hitler, we're going to stop him. Who knows? But at least for today, it was a bromance. They were BFFs. All right, we got another hour to go here on the show. So before I do that, let me tell you about my friends at Tri-County Auto. Tri-County Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram and Tri-County Toyota. Brian Krieger and his general manager, Jack Donaldson, are the best. Tri-County is family-owned, family-friendly, a wonderful place to be. And the perfect time to get inside a new Toyota at Tri-County Toyota. Right now, you can lease a new 2025 Tacoma four-wheel drive double cab SR5 and lease that for $229 a month for 39 months. Or get rates as low as 2.99 or 3.99% financing. Or check out a new 2025 RAV4 LE all-wheel drive for just $309 a month for 39 months. You can buy and get 4.75% financing for 72 months. If you want to go Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, the wrap-up-of-year sales event is happening now at Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Right now, lease a new 2025 Jeep Compass Limited for just $328 a month for 42 months. Need something bigger? Get a new 2025 Ram truck with 0% financing for 72 months or a new 2026 Ram truck with 0% financing for 60 months. The deals are incredible. Stop in and see them at their showroom. You can't miss it. Gigantic American flag between the two dealerships. Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Tri-County Toyota, close to King of Prussia, Exton, Main Line, everywhere. Stop over, give them a salute. Tri-County.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.